This message entitled, The Blood, a Statement of God's Love, was preached at the Columbus, Indiana Church of God by Dr. David Jeffers on November 26th, 2017.
I have to smile.
Amen.
I have to smile because God is on his throne in heaven and all is well.
Yes. Amen.
Let thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven.
Yes.
And when the Lord prayed that prayer, he meant it, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And so, when you pray, not my will but thine be done, you kind of think about what you're saying. Mm-hmm. The will of God? What is this that God wants of me? And so every person in this church this morning has a different thing that God expects of you. And then all of us have similar things that he expects of us.
Right.
Not all are called to preach, and that's okay. Not all are called to pray powerful prayers, but that's okay because wherever I sort of sit down and can't do it, God raises up somebody else.
Yes.
And so God's will be done. And that's good, whether we understand it or not. When Jesus prayed it, not my will, but thine be done, he basically was saying to God, I'm moving aside everything that I think, that I know, that I hope for, that I ever dream for and live for, in order to invite your plan and invite your work to come to the forefront in my life. It's not a bad thing to pray, is it? I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold.
Yes.
I'd rather have him than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses and lands. I'd rather be led by his own dear hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have my Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen.
We would, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Amen. Now, the reason being that when God's will is being done, it is so far higher above what our will is. We could have the most incredibly noble intentions about serving God, and we could have the most noble intentions about loving people, but we could never really love on the measure that God plans for us to love. We couldn't do it by our own power and by our own strength. So what we do is we learn that lesson very early, and we say, not my will, but thine be done, and we really mean it. And you see at Calvary, when the Lord Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thine be done, you've got to understand that he knew what the will of the Father was. The Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise Jesus. It pleased him for him to go the way of the cross and to go the way of the beating and to go the way of the scourging. Now, that's kind of strange, but the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so God, being the friend of his son Jesus, wounded him and allowed him to be wounded, because it was in the wounding of him that we escaped the wounding and death of sin and hell. And the Father knew that. So the Father basically did whatever was necessary in order to bring to life in the truth that greater love hath no man but that they lay their life down for their friends. And so Jesus called us friends. He called Judas Iscariot in the moment that he was betraying him. He said, friend, do you betray me with a kiss? And he meant that. And he also said, Father, forgive them on the cross, for they know not what they do. And if we really think through that a moment, we'll understand that if the soldiers at the cross and the centurion had known that this was the Christ, the Messiah, and who he was to come and give his life to die for our sins, they would have been horrified about crucifying him on the cross. But somebody had to do it, because it was the will of God. And I asked him one day, why? Why is it that you couldn't choose 1,000 angels or 10,000 angels or 1,000,000 and have them come down and preach the most incredible message of accepting God and let that be enough? And God gave me this answer, and it was a wonderful answer and sufficient to satisfy my mind. He said, I could do no less than the greatest measures of love. Therefore, in order to keep the true to the scripture that says greater love hath no man but that they lay down their life for his friend, I had to lay down my son's life. He had to lay down his life because I do not deal in anything but the greatest measures of love.
Amen.
No, I like that.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
And it makes sense to me. And yet in bruising him and allowing him to be bruised, he shed his blood. And that's what I'm going to talk about, the blood of Jesus. And the devil runs when he hears that.
Yes, he does.
He does not like a message, but we're not here to please the devil. We're here to please the Father.
Right.
And so it is that we find ourselves going back several thousand years ago to that time when God commanded the Israelites to kill the lamb, the Passover, and to kill the lamb without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And in killing him, the Bible says this very plainly, without the shedding of blood, there's no removal of sin.
Right. Right.
So the necessity of the blood being shed at Calvary, the absolute necessity, for without the blood, there could be no removal of sin. And so there had to be the blood. And there had to be the blood run down the cross. 5 minutes before the blood ran down the cross, the blood of Jesus, where they speared him and where he had been beaten so badly, God took that blood, which was the blood in the veins of Jesus, which was the blood like anyone else because he was a human being and bled. But in one instant, when that first drop of blood ran down, God empowered the blood.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
He put power
Amen.
In the blood.
Yes, he did.
See, nobody else could do that but God Almighty, the Father of the Lord Jesus. And that's why we sing, there's power in the blood, good we or evil, a victory win. There's wonderful power in the blood. Now, we celebrate the blood. The enemy is discombobulated, totally confused when the blood is released. And so what we want to know here in this church is that any time an operation of God happens in the life of a human being that is from God, it is because of the shed blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It's the blood once again being applied to our lives. When we said, Father, forgive me of my sins. I have sinned. I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the blood is released in that repentance. In that repentance, the blood is released against all of our sins and they are all washed away.
Mm-hmm.
And they are washed away and removed from us by the blood.
Right.
As far as the east is from the west,
mm-hmm.
God has sent the blood.
Yes.
And so we look at that blood very realistically this morning as being the absolute necessary operation of God that the blood was shed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, however, the blood today speaks. One day I was with the Lord and I got this thought. The blood speaks. The blood shouts. It actually speaks and it shouts against the demonic. And the blood covers sin. New sin, old sin, even after you're saved, whatever sin. It's the blood that arises again in the act of our contrition, in the act of our repentance. And the blood is released again and again and again. And this absolutely drives the demonic powers terribly insane.
Amen.
Because they cannot stand it. And I'll tell you why. Because the blood of Jesus is the most purifying, cleansing agent in all the universe.
Amen.
There is no greater, cleaner agent than the blood of Jesus. And therefore, since that blood is the most powerful cleansing agent that not only cleanses us, but makes us holy even as He is holy. As we're washed in the blood, and as that blood is applied and we stand having had it applied, we stand then justified and right in the sight of God. And that's how we're made right in the sight of God. And when we're not right and we're wrong and we need to be made right again, And through repentance again, therefore, if any man sin or woman sin, we have a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we confess that sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us that sin and use the blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Here comes the blood again.
Mm-hmm.
Say that. Here comes the blood again. I like move my hands like that. Do this. Here comes the blood again. Again and again and again, God applies the blood.
Yes. Yes, he does.
And he basically humiliates the demonic.
Yes.
And he basically calls the devil the liar because the blood exposes his impurity.
Yes.
Now, the reason that the blood is so powerful against the demonic in your life, anytime the devil comes to try to steal from you, you need the blood to show up.
Right.
You need God to let him see the blood.
Mm-hmm.
You need the devil to see the blood and to realize that it is the blood of Jesus and that there is no greater power in the universe than the blood. However, there is no greater power of God released in the universe than through the blood, but the blood is a powerful, glorious statement of the love of God.
Amen.
So you see, any time that God in heaven releases the blood, he is releasing a great measure of his love toward us.
Yes.
So that we feel his love. We relieve his love. We receive his love. And then because we're so thankful that he gave his blood, he gave his love, that no greater person had any greater love than that they lay their life down. And there is the Lord Jesus standing, loving, laying his life down.
Mm-hmm.
That when we see that, we then understand what it means when the Bible says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Now, so we say, but I love all these other people. No, love is always an action verb. You cannot say, I love you, unless you're ready in that moment to follow that love up with some kind of an action. You see? So therefore, the Bible says, if you see someone's hungry, and someone who's broken, and someone who's hurting, and so forth, and if you say, I hope somebody helps them, I love them, Lord. I love all those hurting, broken people. And God says, how can the love of God dwell in you if you close up your compassion and do not respond to the hurting person? So therefore, we cannot say, I love you. So therefore, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he followed it up with these three words, that he gave.
Mm-hmm.
God so loved the world that he gave.
Yes.
See, he rose up and took action. So anytime that you ever say, I love you to anyone in the future, be ready to stand up and serve. Be ready to stand up and make love a verb, an action verb of doing the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since the devil is the most polluted, unclean spirit, he's actually called that in the Bible, isn't it? Unclean spirit, demonic spirit, foul spirit, F-O-U-L. Since he's all of those things and the most unclean person in the universe, then what is needed in order to destroy his unclean works? Well, the Bible says, for this purpose, the Son of God was brought into the world, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Wherever he finds the devil building something up, Jesus came into the world to tear it down. To tear it down, to seal it, and to make it a permanent tearing down, and to give us this wonderful thought that we are led in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And so therefore the blood is applied and continued to be applied and reapplied as we walk in paths of righteousness for his namesake. As we walk in places of obedience, and as after a while we don't just try to count tit for tat and say, well, if I obey God, he'll do this for me. If I obey God, no, there comes a time when you obey God because you just plain out love him.
Amen.
Then you know that you're maturing as a Christian,
right,
when you obey him because you love him. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is all I've longed for. You have given life to me. See how you just adore him for giving your life? Isn't that the greatest thing on earth?
Amen.
Hallelujah! Praise his name for giving us life and giving, lending us his breath. so that we might rise up and in the strength of God go forth conquering in his name. And so it is that when Jehoshaphat called the armies of the Israelites together there on that day when they were surrounded by a great host, and someone came and said, oh, we're in big trouble. Why? Because there's tens of thousands of them and there's only hundreds and thousands, maybe a few thousand of us. I mean, there was an overwhelming number. And so Jehoshaphat did not, he said, we do not know what to do. I like that.
Yeah.
Best thing for you to be is just plain honest.
Right.
God, I'm in the middle of the night and the devil's attacking me and my family and my children. He's trying to destroy everything we are and everything we have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do. But then Jehoshaphat said a simple thing. But our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Think about that. You will keep that man or woman in perfect peace whose mind stays totally on you, who stays focused on you. That person, the Bible says, who trusts in you. Jeremiah 26:3. You will keep that person in perfect peace whose mind stays on you. So therefore, he was told, look up. You are my glory, my shield, and you, Lord, are the one that lifts up my head. And so he lifted his head up above the trouble, did not listen to an evil report, but received a report out of heaven. What shall I do, O God? And God gave the order, appoint singers. Get up a choir. But there's thousands of people out there ready to slaughter our wives and children and kill every one of us. Get up a choir.
Yeah.
And then when they got up a choir, he gave them the song to sing. And they sang to the beauty of holiness. What's that word holiness mean? Holiness means purity, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To be made holy is to be made clean and beautifully perfect and clean and I can't say the other words, in the presence of God. We can't do it by our power, not by works of righteousness, but by his grace he has saved us and set us free and cleansed us.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so when they sang to the beauty of holiness, you have to ask one question. I love this. What is that element? What is that element that appears from God in the life of the believer that has the power to purify and cleanse? And we stop and we scratch our head and say, isn't he preaching on the blood as the greatest cleansing agent in the universe? And so you answer that, the blood. So watch this. When they began to sing of the beauty of holiness, God began to release the blood. Because there's no other agent to cleanse and make holy but the blood. So this is one of the first understandings of the release of the blood of Jesus, or the blood. And then later on, of course, that same blood was subsumed under the cross and in the person of Christ. But he had plans of that blood to be the cleansing agent from the very beginning. So they offered sacrifices of the blood, and they were acceptable to God before the coming of Jesus.
Yes.
There was cleansing. They were cleansed, purified, made right with God by the offering of sacrifices. But then when that perfect sacrifice came, then retroactive all the way back to the sins of man was the understanding why the blood has so much power. And why today we say, in a darkest hour when we have nothing else to say, we say the blood of Jesus is against you, Satan.
Yes.
Try that, will you? The blood of Jesus is against you, Satan. You have no authority over me.
Amen.
Say that.
You have no authority over me.
See, and when you begin to honor God for the gift of his love and for the gift of the blood of his son, when you begin to honor God and honor his gift of the blood, it's then that power comes down. Power is expressed from heaven on your behalf. Because you will never have any deliverance that doesn't contain some great measure of the blood of Jesus. You'll never have any healing.
Right.
Because healing is in the blood.
Yes.
The Bible actually says it from the Old Testament. The life is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, when the blood is applied of Jesus, it produces life, which works against death and all disease. It works death. The blood produces life. That's why people get healed, because of the love of God and the gift of his blood.
Amen. Amen.
And the covering of his blood. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Doesn't that make you want to shout?
Amen.
Praise God. And so when the Bible says the life is in the blood. So when they began to sing to the beauty of holiness, the only way that holiness could go forth and happen was by the cleansing agent to make holy the blood. Makes sense, doesn't it? So, what happened? Well, when the blood comes forth, it sows confusion in the mind of the demonic. Even today, when the blood is applied, it causes the demonic to let go and let God.
Right.
It causes the demonic not only let go, but turn and flee.
Yes.
And run from the presence of the blood because it's a hot, scorching iron of fire on his head when the blood goes against him.
Yes, it is.
And so as a result of that, we rejoice in God's great gift of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are so God. There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
That's right.
With your evil, a victory win. There's wonderful, wonderful power in the blood of Jesus. And so, there was a movement out about 77 years ago in the Methodist Church and in some other churches to take every reference out of the church hymnals to blood. They said blood's too gory and it's kind of nasty and it's so everything else, and we just need to remove all the references to the blood. But Christians throughout the centuries have been singing about the blood.
Yes.
And they've been singing about the beauty of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like this 12th century song, Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I honor, thee will I cherish, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. So you're singing to the glory of Jesus, mm-hmm, simply because he is worthy, because he has shed his blood.
Yes.
He is worthy of that great and one mighty gift of pouring out his blood freely and willingly so that we might be cleansed and made right in the sight of God. And in that same blood, our name is written in blood in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Indelible. Mm-hmm. Going to be there.
Right.
On that great judgment day, the books will be open and they will read in written in blood your name.
Amen.
And the Father will immediately recognize that, you see, that blood has an intercessory power with the Father and basically substantiates the fact of Jesus as Lord of your life. Lord and King and glory of all. Isn't that a wonderful thought?
Praise God. Amen.
Now let's take a look at the blood in history again for a moment. Biblical history, of course. We're not so interested in what people do with the blood or secular people do with the blood. We're interested in what God did with the blood.
Right.
So the Israelites were told that there would be a death angel coming through Egypt. And so interestingly enough, the Israelites lived in a certain section. The interesting thing is, there was a land called the land of Goshen, G-O-S-H-E-N, and that's where the Israelites lived. They lived in that place.
Yeah.
I don't know how far away it was from the other metropolitan areas of Egypt, but that's where they lived. And so, interestingly enough, when the darkness came over the land, the Bible simply says this, and there was darkness over all the land of Egypt, but there was light in the land of Goshen where God's people was.
Yeah.
See, there was never any darkness over the Israelites, but there was darkness all over Egypt, but not in the land of Goshen. See, there's hopelessness and panic and horrifying fear everywhere that God's people are not. But where God's people are, there's light and blessing and rejoicing, mm-hmm, and all of those wonderful things where there is light in the land of God's people.
Amen. Yes. There is.
So you see, and so we come to the plague of death, which the death angel was coming that night. And so God gave a commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this. In his great wisdom and in his great knowledge, he knew that death would come to take life, but that the blood of God produced life. Remember, the life is in the blood, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And so they killed the spotless lamb, and they took the blood, and they took hyssop. If you've ever seen the Wailing Wall in Israel, and you see these little plants growing out of it, that's hyssop. They grow out of the Wailing Wall. They grow out of walls and in cracks and crevices, and they would take that and they would use that hyssop to sprinkle to make holy. In fact, they would sprinkle the priest with it when they would baptize them. That's why the Methodists got sprinkling. But anyway, and they would sprinkle that for a priest over a priest when he was ordained into the priesthood in those days. But the neat part about it was they would take and they would sprinkle and paint the blood over the doorposts of every house. And the Bible says that God said to put the doorpost on every house. And he says, when, oh, I love this statement. You know it too. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you.
Amen.
Say that, will you? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. There's an old song. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that's the Passover.
Right.
Now watch this. You want to be covered with the sprinkled blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You want somebody to say, what is that all over your clothing? And you want to be able to say, my lands, it looks like somebody sprinkled me with the blood of the Son of God. Now, there was a ceremony in Israel where the people wore white. I want you to listen to this. And they actually would bring the people in as a ceremony and dip that hyssop in blood and sprinkle it on their white clothing.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a good, let's don't call you a housewife. If you're a good wife and a mother and you do the laundry by some chance, I do my own laundry. That's probably why I got green, pink shirts all over the place. I got a pink shirt bleeding in my underwear and everything. Not really, but I used to. I said, how does underwear get pink? You can't wash a new red shirt and then I have pink underwear. But listen to me. If man came home and he had that blood sprinkled all over him and the wife said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do to get that out. The man would say, don't try to take it out.
Amen. Yep.
That's the blood of the sprinkled lamb.
Hallelujah.
That's a badge of praise.
Right.
When they'd come in to have that sprinkle on them, it would shout the power of God.
Yes.
It would shout, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And I won't bring death or hell or destruction on you, but I'll put it on your enemies. I'll bring it against those who hate you.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
So it was a badge of honor to have a white garment on and have it just sprinkled with blood all over. You'd want to wear that downtown. It's like, oh man, you got that sprinkled garment again. Yep, man, I wear this every day. I want this blood on me everywhere I go. So interestingly enough, the death angel came. And the firstborn of every Egyptian, plus the firstborn of cattle and oxen and sheep and everything else, died that day. Only the firstborn. That's rather selective, isn't it? Have you thought much about that? That's rather selective that God himself would know and recognize every single firstborn in Egypt and every single one of them died that night. When I was getting ready to preach this sermon in my mind this morning, I was thinking about that. One of the things that God is going to do for you, and I want you to praise him with me this morning, is he's going to make the reality of his being involved personally every moment, every hour of your day. Not only will I never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus says, I am with you.
Yes.
And something that you and I can experience, and I like this, is the withness of God.
Yes.
The withness of God. Occasionally I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll say, Lord Jesus, and the whole room will fill up with his glory.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you what, I'm going, oh Lord, he's here. And don't leave now. Stay as long as you will, please, Lord Jesus. Because you see, you want to know and believe that when a death comes to take over your soul or when the evil comes to press against you, that God will raise up a standard against him.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Will raise up a battle song and say, this far, devil, draw a bloodline, this far and no further.
Amen.
And you know that, you see,
yep.
Because there's been many a time that God has fought battles and won them for you that you'll never know about till you get to heaven and look back on them and see them.
Right.
All the battles that you've had in the middle of the night and the battles you've had praying for those that you love and praying for others, you'll see that God was in the midst of them every single time and that at some place the blood was released. And the blood was released on your behalf.
Amen.
For you and for me and for all the children of God. Isn't that a great, great thought this morning?
Yes, it is. Amen.
So when we think about the blood, we have a doctrine of the blood. When I was in seminary, we had a fellow named Wiley, and he wrote a theology. And it was a doctrine. It was Christian doctrine. And we used Mr. Wiley's book. So I studied his book about Christian doctrine. And, of course, I read the journals of John Wesley and other great Christians while I was in seminary. And it was very, very wonderful to see that people believed in the blood and the power of the blood. They believed in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. If you stay around me long enough, you will never hear me to his face call the Lord Jesus, Jesus. You say, what? Isn't that who he is? Yes. But if you look back at every person that ever addressed him in the New Testament, every person, the ones who had the respect for him never said, hey, Jesus. They said, Master. They said, Savior. They said, Lord Jesus. You see, with your language, God will teach you with your language how to give him honor. And everywhere you go and honor God in some measure, God rises up off the throne and thinks of a way to bless you. Because he can be honored, he can be magnified, he can be glorified in your language, in the way you live your life.
Yes.
And every time you say yes to God and do yes, you have obeyed his commandment. And so the scripture says, this is the love of God, that we obey his commandment. And his commandments are not grievous unto us. That word grievous is not grievous. So if you've been saying grievous, don't do that anymore. It's G-R-I-E, grie, and V-O-U-S, vus, grievous. It's not grievous unto us. As a result of that, it means that love is not grievous. His commandments are not going to shake us up and tear us to pieces. They're going to lead us in godly paths for our righteous walk with God. And so I began to understand that, again, when the Bible says, this is the commandment of God, that you love one another, that when you have acts of love in Christ for someone, you are in his commandment. Now, when you are obeying his commandment, you're pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing what Jesus would do, you're pleasing to God, the Father. You see, because you're most like Jesus. In obeying God, you're the most like his son Jesus that you can be. In disobeying him, you're the least like him that you can be. And so we obey his commandments. And his commandments, again, are not heavy burdens. They're not grievous. They don't cause us any bad outcome. But we believe that all things that happen in our life, good, bad, sad, difficult, work together for good. Simply because Romans 8:28 says so. And therefore, when you say, Lord, I don't understand this terrible thing going on. I don't understand how I lost this loved one. I don't understand these things. But I do believe that everything that comes my way, whether it comes from God or comes from the devil against me, that God puts his hand on what the devil brings against me and marries it and puts it together with what God has a plan for me and brings it to a good God outcome.
Amen.
See, God has the power to turn the tide of darkness and evil away from you and to turn it in another direction away from you and to bring his good out of something tragic and terrible. In fact, that's what he does best. When the website goes up, I'm a year late on the website. About 6 weeks ago, I was due at a meeting and I was an hour late. I said, ain't nobody going to be there. Nobody's going to be at this meeting. I'm an hour late. And I walked in and every single person that was there was standing there eager to hear from God. And I thought, well, I guess it didn't really matter that I was an hour late. But I'm going to say this to you. I said to someone, I came from a long way. And somebody said, how far did you come from? 600 miles? My land's alive. No wonder you're late. And I was late, but everybody forgave me. But the fact of the matter is, God takes what is thrown against you, and because of the blood, he sees you through the blood. You see, when you pray in Jesus' name, the blood appears. You don't see it. I don't see it, but it appears.
Amen.
And the blood speaks to the Father on your behalf.
Amen. Yes.
Just speaks to the Father. Hey, Father. The blood says, your son Jesus shed this blood for this brother, this sister, so that if they repent, so that if they claim Jesus, then they become certified as sons and daughters of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has poured out upon us, that we should be called sons and daughters of love. Beloved, now are we the sons and daughters of the Lord, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He, Jesus, shall make His appearance, we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
In all of His glory. Yes. We shall see Him in His majesty sent forth from the throne of God,
Hallelujah.
His Father.
Amen.
With our name on His lips. Hallelujah.
Yes.
In the presence of God.
Yes.
And every man, every woman that hath this hope in them of the appearing of Jesus purifies themselves even as Jesus is pure. How would you like to purify yourself and make yourself holy and pure before God? Just having the hope of the appearing of Jesus makes you clean. So you're embracing that hope, therefore you're embracing the Word, and because you're embracing His Word, it is the love of God at work in your life.
Amen.
It begins to operate and work on our behalf. Yes. My goodness, what can wash away my sins? You know it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
You've been listening to Dr. David Jeffries. For more information, visit his website at drdavidjeffries.com, and that is spelled drdavidjeffries.com. I'm Harley Cannon.